from the first chapter of John, from verses 37 till the end of the chapter, that is 51, from verse 37 to 51. We'll be considering that. It's a wonderful thing. John is one of the first disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ, and he's a young man when he started following Jesus Christ, and that encourages each and every young people in our assembly to have witnesses like John and Andrew and Philip. I don't know how old Peter was when he followed Jesus. Maybe he was a little bit older than all other disciples. But we had these young men who testifying our Lord Jesus Christ. And they testified rightly. They said, he is the Messiah. And they said, he is the one Moses written in the law. And he is the one who was spoken in the prophets. And even we have this wonderful witness from Nathanael. He told, he is the Son of God. He is the King of Israel. What a wonderful revelation that has been given to young people. That's truly remarkable. Many people like Nicodemus, who know the God's word, who know the law so very well, have failed to identify Christ. Maybe they identify later in their life, but we could see young men we identified Christ, and it's truly remarkable. And last week we considered John the Baptist testified and witnessed. He said, "Behold the Lamb of God." So Christ Jesus is coming from after 40 days and 40 nights in wilderness, being tempted, and he was fasted, and now he's crossing Jordan. So this is the third day we are going to consider. The third day Jesus is appearing where John was baptizing. Still he is baptizing the people in Jordan River. And now Jesus was crossing, and there is no, the text is so clear, John the Baptist is not talking to Jesus in this occasion, but he identified, it was revealed to him by the Holy Spirit, "Behold the Lamb who takes away the sin of the world." That's we considered last week. And these two young men, and who were the disciples of John the Baptist, watching the words of their master, of their rabbi, John the Baptist, "Behold the Lamb." And the next day, that's what we are going to consider today. And John stood with two of his disciples in verse 35, and looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God." How wonderful it is. He can't able to keep it to himself, looking at Jesus as he walked, crossing him. "Behold the Lamb of God." And John, Gospel of John is such a, one of the fascinating book in the scripture, and it's one of the most important gospels, because it speaks about how Christ speaks about the Lord Jesus Christ as the incarnate God, as an embodiment of God. And that is so important. Especially when he returned this gospel to the Gentiles, there are a lot of teachings those days that Jesus is not a man in flesh. They didn't recognize Jesus as man in flesh. And he's writing, he is the embodiment of God, and he dwelt among men. He took the form of flesh. The Word became flesh. He's making that so strong. That statement is so strong. He was the Word of God. He was God. And now he became flesh and dwelt, or he used the word tabernacled among men. What a wonderful revelation it is. The God tabernacled among men. And John, and he had this idea of tabernacle and temple throughout this gospel. And we could see the tabernacle idea he's writing in each and every chapter, or in various chapters in John. I got stuck. He pointed in the first chapter, "Behold the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God." He is the Lamb that has to be sacrificed on the altar of the cross. That altar is in the outer court of the tabernacle. If you bring tabernacle into your imagination now, there is an outer court, there is a holy place, and there is a most holy place. And here we have our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. He crucified for you and me, and that is the altar. And John rightly points, he is the Lamb of God that has been crucified for you and me on the altar. He is the perfect sacrifice that has been sent by God on the right time, in God's time. He has been sent, and he has been sacrificed for us on the cross of Calvary. And again in third chapter we read that Jesus told, he was like that bronze serpent lifted up on the pole, and whoever looks at that pole and believes, they are delivered from sin and from death. And that what happened in the wilderness journey, where the people who looked at the bronze serpent lifted up on the pole, they were all saved from the penalty of death. They were all bitten by the serpent. And here we see our Lord Jesus Christ is a type of that bronze serpent lifted up on the pole. And whoever believes that, they might be delivered from sin and obtain life. And in chapter 13, he was teaching us, he is the laver filled with water, and he is the one who is demonstrating it to his disciples by a wonderful gesture of being a bond servant. And he took the basin of water and he washed the feet of all the disciples. And how wonderful it is. And that typifies the labor in the tabernacle. And he is the one, the word of God. The word of God became flesh. He is the one who is the living water who washed you and me today, even before, and preparing us to enter the holy place. And in chapter 6 and chapter 8, we read about Jesus testifying that he is the bread of life. I am the bread of life, and I am the living, I am the light of life. And here we have the beautiful objects in the holy place, the table of showbread and the lampstand. And Christ welcomes you and me, and whoever receives Christ are brought by him into the holy place. And those two objects are there. And we have the altar of golden incense there. And we could see the mysterious prayer of our Lord Jesus Christ in chapter 17 of John. And Christ praying for you and me. And what a wonderful picture of that is the altar of the golden incense in the holy place. And the wonderful four verses which I love in the scripture is in John chapter 17. Verse 22 to 24, just I want to read it before I go into my passage. And God's word says that, and the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one. And that the world may know that you have sent me, and I have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me, for you have loved me before the foundation of the world. What a wonderful experience it given by our Lord Jesus Christ to each and every one called out by him. And this is the most holy place experience, to dwell in the presence of the Lord, beholding his glory, and be part of him. And we could see that how John beautifully brings tabernacle, the illustrating tabernacle in his gospel. And he is one of the young followers, and today we are going to consider that passage. So let's read from verse 35 onwards. Again the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, "What seek ye?" They said unto him, "Rabbi," which is to say, being interpreted, "Master, where dwellest thou?" He saith unto them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about 10th hour. That God bless this reading for us. So let's consider the first portion in the verses we are going to consider today. Here we have two young men following the Lord Jesus Christ because of the words told by John the Baptist. Behold the Lamb, the words that captivated their heart. They know, as a Jewish person, they know the Lamb is so important to them. It speaks to them about the Passover Lamb. It speaks to them about the sacrificial Lamb. So it's not a simple word what John the Baptist told here. So behold the Lamb, and they started following Jesus. So I believe they have no boldness to come near Jesus. So these two disciples were following him from little bit afar. And we have this wonderful example of young men following Jesus. And that is a true call, it is, isn't it? And how important it is to follow Jesus in our young days. In our young days, how important to follow Jesus. That is truly a great blessing. It is truly a great blessing to follow Jesus and to know him personally when you are young. In all your vigor and with all your innocence and ignorance, how beautiful is to follow someone like Lord Jesus, your creator, the God of heaven and earth. And how wonderful it is to follow Lord Jesus Christ in your young age. And here we have, they called him Rabbi. And they called him Rabbi. Jesus is our great teacher. And that is the heading I want to give for this passage. Jesus, the teacher. He is our teacher. And here they called him Rabbi, which is translated Master. Where are you staying? How wonderful it is. These two people, they called him Rabbi. And even before that, something marvelous happened. These two people, I think, they're a little bit shy to go and have any discourse with Jesus. So they're walking a little bit afar. And Jesus turned and seeing them following, said to them, "What do you seek? What do you seek?" And that's a great question, isn't it? In our Christian journey, what do we seek in our Christian journey? And that's something we have to ask quite often. Am I looking for the right thing in my life? What is my aim and goals in my life? Or many times as Christians, I believe most of us gathered here are born in a Christian family. We take it for granted. We take this call for granted. And many times we waste our time in other things. It's a wonderful question Jesus is asking. What do you seek? What do you seek? What am I really trying to get out of my life? What is this? What the will of God in my life? And that's something very important question Jesus is asking. Before the invitation, come and see. Jesus is asking them, what do you seek? And that is a challenge for each and every one of us today morning. What do we seek in our life? Many times, when I examine my life, I fail sometimes. That is a shame, but that is the reality and truth. I fail sometimes. What I seek in my life, often I miss something in my life. I do things which is not according to God's plan in my life. I failed miserably, but God is so gracious. God is so gracious, and He will take us back in. He will take us back in. And there is always that promise and comfort we have in Christ Jesus that we can always come to Him, and He is there with the arms open wide to receive us. And that's something wonderful we could see in the character of Jesus. Jesus turned, and seeing them following, He asked them, "What do you seek?" Lord Jesus turned. What a wonderful event that should be in the life of John and Andrew. And John never forget all the moments that happened in this when he met Jesus first in his life. He recording so clearly, he turned and looked at us and he asked this question, "What do you seek?" Dear friends, what do you seek in your life? And what how you want to spend the rest of your life? Or you want to spend by doing the commands of God, or do you want to spend time doing something else? It's something we have to answer. And we have God's word here which says, "Young men, follow me. Young men, follow me." In Psalms 119:9 we read, "How can a young man keep his ways clean?" And that is a wonderful question. How can a young man keep his ways clean? By living according to his word. By living according to his word. And we can apply that to each and every one of us. Every one of us. Not just young people. Every one of us. Are we living according to God's words in our life? And what do you seek? That is a question I want to leave it to you all. And think about that. What do you seek in your life? And they said him, Rabbi. They immediately told Rabbi. They called him teacher. He's a wonderful teacher, isn't it? He's a wonderful teacher. And he's someone who can teach us. At the various stages in our life, he's a wonderful teacher. Bible became so precious to me in my life. I born in a Christian family. I've been to the church the day I know. I was surrounded by blessed Christians. I have a very strict family Christian life. But still, I used to do many things religiously, for tradition. I used to do many things in my life. But the day I understood the beauty of the Bible, it becomes so close to me. That book becomes so closer to me. And compared to all other academical books I studied, I spent hours and hours on it, I found this book so precious to me. Because when I sit opening this book, there is someone who teaches me. Our great teacher, our Lord Jesus Christ himself. Because he is the word of God. And he said to them, "Come and see." And they came and saw. And we are not told what exactly the discourse is. These two men, they went along with Jesus, and Jesus showed them where he was staying, and they remained with them that day. And John also writing what time it is, they went. And now it was about 10th hour. He's writing it down in the gospel. And here we have they spent that rest of the day with the Lord himself. And I can remember there is two other disciples who walked with Jesus, the Emmaus, the road to Emmaus. And they have the similar experience, two disciples with Jesus. And they had this wonderful time alone with the Lord. And the Lord expounded them all the things about him from the scripture. I believe the same thing happened to John and Andrew. God, Jesus was telling them about himself. About himself. I think the Spirit of God is so wise. Obviously, he's wiser. He's the wisest one. And he doesn't want to disclose all the discussion what the Lord Jesus Christ had with John and Andrew on that day. He wants to keep it closed because I think my reasoning is, I think he wants you and me to personally to come and see. He wants you and me to come and see. He wants to keep this invitation personal to each and every one of us. He wants you and me to come and see how good he is. He wants to come and see how wonderful he is. Let's go back to all the books that have been written hundreds of years back. The first book, Genesis, is speaking about our Lord Jesus Christ. That very seed of the woman in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, 16. It speaks about the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are invited to come and see that. It speaks about Lord Jesus Christ. That seed which born of a woman that crushed the head of that age-old serpent. That's truly remarkable, isn't it? Hundreds of years back, dear brothers and sisters, that is written for us. That has been written down for us. Not just that. In Numbers chapter 27, in verse 17, we read about the star that came out of Jacob. It is this very star the wise men followed to look, to meet Jesus in Bethlehem, the baby Jesus in Bethlehem. And it's been written hundreds of years back. It's been prophesied hundreds of years back about the star shall come out of Jacob. What about his birth? He will be born of a virgin. And that's been told hundreds of years back in Isaiah. Isaiah the prophet written in chapter 7 and verse 14. He is born of a virgin. And Jesus indeed is born of a virgin. And in Daniel chapter 9 verse 26 we read the exact time of his birth. The exact time of his birth. And Old Testament goes on. It speaks so much, volumes and volumes, about our Lord Jesus Christ. In Micah chapter 5, we read where he will be born. He will be born in Bethlehem. He will be born in Bethlehem. The one to be the ruler of Israel is to be born in Bethlehem. And in Hosea chapter 11, we read that out of Egypt I will call out my son. And Jesus went and stayed in as a little baby. He was taken to Egypt. And out of Egypt he was called out. And it was written in Hosea chapter 11. And in Isaiah 53, we read about the suffering Savior. Today morning we have been meditating on that. In Isaiah 53, he was the one has to be suffered for you and for me on the cross. He was oppressed for you and me. He was afflicted for you and me. Yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb unto the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearer, and he is quiet, he is silent. He opened not his mouth. What a wonderful prophecy is all this. And it's all fulfilled. And it's all fulfilled when Son of God became Son of Man. Come and see. That is an invitation to you and me. Come and see. Spend time in the scripture. God is telling, come and I like to reason with you. Let's reason with him. Let's open all the prophecies. Let's go through all the prophetic books and we could see the beauty of the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. Come and see. And there is something going to happen in the future as well. And that's been prophesied hundreds of years back. In Zechariah 14 verse 4, we are reading, he will be coming again and he will step on that Mount Olive. It's been recorded for us hundreds of years back. Nothing is hidden from you and me. It's been written and it's been given to each and every one of us to read and understand. Come and see. And they came and saw. What a wonderful thing it is. They came and saw the beauty of our Lord Jesus Christ. And they can't able to stand there. They can't able to sit quiet anymore. The next day morning, in verse 40, we read, One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Dear friends, who can be quiet when we know the truth? Can you be quiet if you know the truth? Do you remember the day when you got saved? I'm not talking about the day you got baptized. The moment you have been saved. The moment you received that Christ died for you. And that has been buried for you. And he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. When that truth has been revealed to you, do you remember the time and day? What a joy that would have filled in your heart. What a fountain of joy. What a bubbling joy that would have filled in our hearts. And what would have happened to us? I'm sure we all went out and we should have told to our friends and our families, "I have found Jesus in my life. I found Jesus in my life. The one who died for my sins. The one who given himself for my sins. I found Jesus in my life." What a great joy it is to find Jesus in our life. He's so precious to us. He's so precious to us. And it's a joy to have Jesus in our life. And here we have Andrew. He's running to his brother Simon Peter. And he's telling, "We have found the Messiah. We have found the Messiah." And this personality is so special in the scripture. We won't read much about Andrew in the Gospels or in the New Testament as is. Only in few occasions we read about Andrew. Because he's not even in one of the three innermost disciple circle. Today morning our brother Greg spoken about Jairus' daughter. And who are the three disciples who were there? Peter, James and John. And what happened to Andrew? He's one of the first two disciples. And he should be there in one of the three, isn't it? But he's not there. What a wonderful person Andrew is. I admired Andrew because he never considered precedence or honor. And all he wants is to be with Jesus. And all he wants is to follow Jesus. And another fascinating thing about Andrew, he wants to bring people to Jesus. And he's the one who brought Peter to Jesus, his brother. He's the one who brought that young lad. If you remember that young lad in chapter 6 with the 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. It is Andrew who brought that young lad to Jesus. It is this man Andrew who brought, with the help of Philip, he brought the Greeks who wants to inquire with Jesus. He brought him there. What a wonderful ministry it is. What a missionary mind it is to bring people to Jesus. To bring people to Jesus. It is not easy. I don't want to boast the ministry what Greg or our brother James were doing. I just testified, witnessed them just once in Basildon Town Center. And I could see how Greg was preaching the gospel. And no one stood and listened except one or two people. Except one or two people. It would have been a great discouragement to a preacher. But that didn't stop them. That didn't stop them. Dear brothers and sisters, it's a challenge to each and every one of us. Are we having that missionary mind to go and preach about our Lord Jesus Christ? To bring people to the meetings? To bring young children to our meetings? It is including me. It is a challenge and warning to me as well that each and every one of us have to do this. I have the mind of a missionary. And here we have Andrew. He had the mind of the missionary to bring people to Jesus. Come and see is the word. Come and see for yourself. He is the Messiah. He is the anointed one. He is the one who waited and waited generations and generations. He is the one. And here we have the beautiful words of Apostle Paul. It said, "I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jews first and to also to the Greek." Also in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 18 we read, "For the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." The gospel is the power of God. The message of the gospel is the power of God. And there is nothing special you and me have to do other than to speak about the power of God. That Christ died for our sins. Christ was buried. And Christ rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. And those three powerful statements is the power of God. And that's more than enough for us to go onto the streets and to our family to proclaim that Jesus is the Son of God. And He is God. And Andrew did that. And he brought Peter to Simon Peter, his brother, to Jesus. And Jesus looked at that person, Simon, or a Galilean fisherman. He looked at him and he told, "You are Simon and you'll be Peter." What a wonderful thing it is. When we bring people to Jesus, He knows their future as well. He knows how He's going to use that person in the future for His kingdom's work. And this man, Simon, who had been the fisherman all his days of his life, now is going to be a building block. He's going to be the building block or the first building stone of the building called church. And that building is standing on the rock, our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's my second topic, Jesus the rock. On Jesus the rock we stand. On Him we stand, dear friends. On Him we stand. We may be a little rock like Petros, like Peter. His name is called Cephas, or and the Greek word is used as Petros, a small rock, a small stone is Peter. And you and me could be another a small stone in that beautiful building Christ is building, the church. Upon that rock, church was built. And I recently visited Rome and I have seen a few of the places where Peter was killed, and still there are remnants of his clothes and things like that. I was really moved to see those places where thousands and thousands of Christians are martyred in that very land thousands of years back. Dear friends, we could see our Lord Jesus Christ when we bring someone to Lord Jesus Christ, and how and what Christ can make to that person. What a transformation happened in the life of Simon. Simon, he became Peter. He's the first one who preached on the day of Pentecost. And 3,000 men and women, 3,000 men responded in faith and they obeyed the gospel. And he's the one who went to the house of Cornelius and he was preaching to the Gentiles, and he's the one who opened the doors of the gospel to both Jews and to the Gentiles. How wonderful it is. How God can change your life and my life when we trust and obey Him. When we trust and obey Him. And in the following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee and He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." And now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. So they're all from the same town. And we are not told what Christ, Jesus talked to Philip. And all we know from the text is He said to him, "Follow me." And he followed Him. He followed Him. That's wonderful, isn't it? Following Jesus. I don't know anything, what kind of discourse Christ had with Philip, but I believe looking at his person, he is someone to be obedient for the rest of the life. Someone to worth following. And I think that is what Philip did. And he followed Jesus. And he followed Jesus. And Philip, like Andrew and John, he wants to share this good news. And he's running to Nathanael. And Nathanael is one of his best friends. Philip found Nathanael in verse 45 and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And he told, he is the one. He is the one. He is the Messiah who has been prophesied. He is the one. And Nathanael said, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." I believe these two words become so profound to the disciples in those days. "Come and see for yourself. Come and see." And Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said to him, "Behold an Israelite, indeed, in whom is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered and said to him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered and said to him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than this." And he said to him, "Most assuredly I say to you, hereafter you shall see heaven open, and the angels of God descending and ascending upon the Son of Man." Here we have a beautiful revelation from this godly man, Nathanael. And Jesus told him, "Before Philip called you, I have seen you under the fig tree." Oh, he knows us by name. He knows us. Even when we were in our mother's womb, he knows us. He is the one who formed us. He knows us and he called you by name. And here we have Lord Jesus telling, "I saw you when you were under the fig tree." And immediately Nathanael said, "Oh, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. You are the Son of God." Dear friends, who do you think Jesus for you? Who do you think? Is he just another person religiously followed? Is he someone else for you? Who do you think Jesus is? And here Nathanael said, "You are Son of God. You are the God sent one. And you are the King of Israel. He is the Messiah who came down for you and me. He is the one who came down for you and me to pay the penalty for your sins and for my sin on the cross of Calvary. He is the one. He is the one who was wounded for our transgressions. He is the one who was chastised for our peace. And he is the one." And Nathanael rightly said, "You are Son of God. You are the King of Israel." And Jesus said, "Because I told you, I saw you under the fig tree, you believe that. But you will see greater things than this." And he was pointing him back to the Jacob's vision in Genesis chapter 28. He's pointing him backwards. "Oh, you are a true Israelite. You know the law very well. You know about the patriarchs. You know your scripture. Do you know that? I'm going to take you all the way back to your forefather Jacob. And you know the ladder which Jacob visioned? And there was a ladder between heaven and earth. And you're seeing the angels descending and ascending upon that ladder. And that ladder is me. It is me. That's my final topic today. Jesus, the ladder. He is the ladder for you and me. And he is the link God sent for you and me. He is the link which separates a wretched sinner like Jacob and you from the most holy God in heaven. And he is the ladder." And if you read Genesis chapter 28, we read that the ladder connected. On one end of the ladder is God in heaven. And at the another end is Jacob, a wretched sinner who is usurping and he is fleeing away from his brother Esau. And here they are meeting together. And there is a link between holy God and a wretched sinner. Oh dear friends, Jesus is our ladder. He is our ladder. He is the one who links us to the most holy God. It is only through him we have access to God. That's why when we pray, when you end a Christian prayer, we pray in the name of Jesus, we ask everything. Why we do that? Because nothing outside Jesus is possible to go and be in the presence of God. It is only through Jesus. He is the way, the truth and life. There is no other way. If the world is teaching you some other way, that is not the way. Bible, God's word that has been preserved, it's been gone through so much persecution. It's been tried, many kings tried to stop this God's word, but it's still prevailing because it is the truth. And the word of God says, "I am the way, the truth and life." Jesus is the way, the truth and life. There is no other way. And in Acts chapter 4:12 we read that. "And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men for which we must be saved." It is at the name of Jesus we have salvation. And Jacob also is telling, this is the gate of heaven. He rightly said, it is the gate of heaven. Dear friends, there is a gate open now for you and me. And the gate of heaven is open for you and me. And come and see. And the invitation is still open for you and me. And the message of the gospel is, trust and obey in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, because the gate is still open. And in John chapter 10 we read, Jesus said, "I am the door. And he is the door to heaven. And he is the gate of heaven. And that gate won't be open forever. And one day it will be closed. Oh Christians, what do we think? We have to examine our life every day. We have to live according to God's word. Oh, fervently and fearfully we have to live our Christian life. And that ladder is a line of communication between God and man. And that ladder is a line of communication. In Ephesians chapter 2 verse 18 we read that, for through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. For through him, through the Lord Jesus Christ, we have access. And he is our line of communication. And finally we know that Jacob said, this is house of God. This is house of God. The very place I stand is the house of God. And he called that place as Bethel. And it reminds us even today morning, Jesus is our house of God. He welcomes us, each and every one of us, to be an household member of God. That's truly wonderful, right? That's truly wonderful. And we have this incredible, most expensive, the world cannot pay this price. We have peace with God. We have peace with God. Wretched sinner like you and me have peace with the God of heaven and earth. Today morning our brother Garrett brought this wonderful subject. How big our God is. The heavens declare the glory and praise of God. Sorry. How we are going to respond to this, dear brothers and sisters? We are in the house of God. We are in the house of God. That gives each and every one of us so much responsibility. So much responsibility and care in our Christian journey. And he preached and he came and preached peace to you who were far off and peace to those who were near. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 17. And here we have three, we consider this passage under three subjects. Jesus, great teacher. Jesus, the rock. Jesus, the ladder. Do you trust Jesus as your savior? Do you trust that in your life? Do you want to give your heart to Jesus? In Hebrews, we have this wonderful word. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Today is the day. There is no tomorrow. There is no future. Today is the day. Today morning, when our brother Robert said, if the Lord's coming is not there, we will have the following meetings in the future. Today is the day. This moment is the time we can give our heart to Jesus. On that note, I'll finish this message. Thank you all for listening.